KQED.
From KQED in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. The party that exploded in the Berkeley Hills last month was every parent's worst nightmare. A teen party spins out of control, four kids are stabbed, one dies. How did it happen? How did the party mushroom in size to over 100 kids, not all of whom even knew each other? There's little question that in the age of text messaging, cell phones, and web postings, drive safe and be home by midnight is no longer a sufficient parental admonition. So what can parents do to keep track of this brave new world? And just as important, what can kids do to stay safe? In the hour ahead, we'll hear from parents, teens, and police. That's next on Forum, after this. From KQED in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. We still don't really know what happened on the night of February 10th in the Berkeley Hills. All we know is that there was a party where the parents weren't home. Over 100 kids showed up, and it spun out of control. Four kids were stabbed. One died. What went wrong? And how did all those kids wind up at a party where some didn't even know each other? Part of the answer lies in the interconnected nature of cyberspace that's turned our concept of neighborhood upside down. In a world of web postings, text messaging, and cell phones, you can let people anywhere know anything, anytime. According to the San Francisco Chronicle, the Berkeley Hills party was posted on MySpace. MySpace is one of many internet locations where kids can post information about themselves, what they're up to, and even where Friday night's party might be taking place. Now, there's lots that's good about interconnectedness for teens and for parents, but it's also true that asking the right questions and finding out the right answers is perhaps more important than ever before. Being a parent has always meant being a little bit bewildered. It's just that the consequences of being bewildered are perhaps a little sharper now. Joining us to talk about this brave new world and what parents and teens can do to sort their way through it are Annie Fox. She's a writer and educator and online advisor to teens. Her most recent book is called Too Stressed to Think, A Teen Guide to Staying Sane When Life Makes You Crazy. Annie Fox, good morning.
Good morning.
Here, too, is Steve DeWarnes. He is an East Bay police officer based in Piedmont. He specializes in internet child safety issues. Officer DeWarnes, good morning.
Good morning.
And joining us as well, two Bay Area teenagers, Rachel Krantz. She's an 18-year-old student at the Bentley School. Rachel, good morning.
Good morning.
And Deshaun Robinson of Richmond, 19 years old. Deshaun and Rachel are also both affiliated with Youth Radio, which is an East Bay organization that trains teens in journalism and media production. Deshaun, good morning.
Good morning.
Officer DeWarnes, for the uninitiated who may be listening at this hour, which I suspect is a fair number, tell us again, describe for us the best you can what MySpace is.
MySpace is a social networking site which allows any user to post up personal information about themselves, pictures, videos, music, a long list of things that they are into.
And Deshaun, you use MySpace. What do you use it for?
Mainly I use MySpace for networking, contacting friends that I've graduated from high school with. I graduated in 2004, so a lot of my friends are all over the country. And actually one of my friends is overseas, so just communicate pretty much.
So in a way it's like a high school yearbook. It's just that it's the whole country's high school yearbook, right? I mean, you can have 50 million high schoolers who can participate, and whose information, whether they're overseas or not, in Richmond or wherever, can look at and share.
Yes, that's correct. Pretty much everyone. Also, too, if you're a musician, it's a great way to network, so everyone can hear your material. You can post up your music. You can do a lot of different things with it. It's a great communication tool.
And Rachel Krantz, you come at it somewhat differently. What are some of your concerns about the sort of positive portrait that Deshaun just described?
Well, the closest I've ever come to a MySpace is one that my friend insisted on putting up as a joke where he listed me as a Republican. And the reason I've resisted MySpace is that I feel like my generation is using websites too much to communicate with each other. And so I feel like a lot of people I know have actually become incapable of direct communication because not only is it not only talking online like instant messaging was, but now you don't even have to be online at the same time. You can just leave postings and then answer the posting 30 minutes later. And so I feel like for me personally, it doesn't feel like a very realistic or representative way of getting to know people.
And is it also then your concern, Rachel, that it, because it's so easy, that it prompts a kind of communication that's different than you and I talking face-to-face as we are at this moment, that you say things online that you might not say face-to-face?
Absolutely. People are much more confrontational online than they are in real life. I know people who will have huge fights online or on MySpace, and then the next day at school, it's like nothing ever happened. And that to me is just bizarre, and I don't want to get wrapped up in that.
Annie Fox, what's your sense of some of what both Rachel and Deshaun are describing, the pluses, but also the minuses that you just heard Rachel outline?
Well, I'm a person who's been an online advisor since 1997, and so I know that being able to communicate online for help and relationship issues and a lot of different things that teens deal with is a wonderful resource. I know that I've helped people in many ways and far-flung people, but it seems to me that the naivete of middle school students in particular are the ones that I'm most concerned about. I get email from kids who have been victimized by cyber bullies, former friends mostly, who are using MySpace to get back at them. And what Rachel says is absolutely true. People are much more confrontational online. I think it somehow empowers them to do and say things that they never would do face-to-face.
Well, it's just like sometimes you can be ruder to someone on the telephone, a salesperson or whatever, and then you might be if that person rang your doorbell. I mean, it goes, I guess, one step beyond that. But I want to come back to the point you made about younger people in particular, because part of what can happen in these environments is you also, just like it encourages perhaps a certain kind of communication, it doesn't necessarily encourage truth. You can post sort of whatever you want about who you want to be, whether you're a Republican or not, Rachel Krantz. You can post anything, and you don't really know. This is something that appeared in the Contra Costa Times a few weeks back, an article by Jackie Burrell, who wrote, "It took Pleasant Hill Middle School teacher Kirsten O'Leary only a few minutes on MySpace before she spotted several dozen familiar, very young faces, Pleasant Hill children between the ages of 8 and 12, who had posted their phone numbers, first and last names, entered galleries of photos snapped with cell phone cameras. They claimed to be 18 or 20, or in one case, an 8-year-old claimed to be 33. So that sort of by definition, Deshaun, doesn't seem like a very good plan.
Definitely. I really think it depends on which way you use it. Just like if you take away guns, you still have knives. You know, you still have weapons around. If you take away knives, you have cars. I mean, there's always going to be a tool out there. It all depends on how people use it. And it really goes into you training your kids at a young age.
Deshaun Robinson joins us this hour. He's a 19-year-old from Richmond, along with Rachel Krantz, an 18-year-old at Bentley School, Officer Steve DeWarnes, and author Annie Fox. This really gets at the heart of it, you know, whether or not we're sort of pointing the finger too much at MySpace and blaming it on the technology, because Annie Fox, what Deshaun suggests is the problem isn't the technology necessarily. The problem may be within the household.
Absolutely. And when I talk to parents, most of them are clueless about what their kids are doing online. And too many of them are using the fact that their kids are tech savvy to say, well, she knows more about this than I do, and throw their hands up and turn a blind eye to it, assuming that with that technical sophistication comes some kind of emotional maturity. And that is not necessarily true.
Steve DeWarnes, jump in on that point. What are your concerns about, you know, the article I just read, the 8-year-old who's posing as a 30-year-old? I mean, what worries you? I mean, there are obvious things, but walk us through what concerns you and what you're seeing.
I get requests all the time to go out and talk at schools, and one of the biggest concerns, middle school age kids in their activity online, especially with the MySpace, and the parents don't understand why their kids are acting out like this and why they're behaving this way. And you really got to step back and take a look at your own adolescence. When you're at that age, kids are trying to find themselves. Where do they fit in? What clique are they going to become a part of before moving on over to the high school? So kids may not be very social and not have a lot of friends, but when they go on the internet, they become a rock star. They could be whoever they want to be. So they
whatever age they want.
So these kids that you would never suspect would act like this are now going online and finding this identity, this false identity, and they're posting up things that are just shocking to most parents.
And is it your experience, as Annie Fox was suggesting, that a lot of parents are clueless?
Absolutely. They have no idea. And it's a generation that we didn't grow up with the internet and MySpace like their kids are. So I educate the parents to get reacquainted and learn what your kids are learning. It's I put it back to the danger stranger rule. You know, we teach our kids at a very early age, don't talk to strangers, don't get in a car with a stranger. And yet, as they get older, that kind of dies off. You don't worry about that anymore. Well, now with technology, you have to be concerned because now it's reintroducing the danger stranger rule. Kids are going out there, they're going online, they're posting up stuff that is way too personal, and they're forgetting about the fact that there are predators out there online, as well as a lot of other things that are going on. So you kind of have to reintroduce some basic parenting skills that you taught at a very early age.
I want to come back to the safety rules because I think there are some very specific things that you probably all could recommend to both teens and parents. But let's stay for a moment with this question of clueless parents because it seems to me, Deshaun and Rachel, that there are certain advantages to having clueless parents, right? I mean, do you want your parents to be clued in?
Well, personally, I think that I wouldn't mind if my parents knew about MySpace. I guess they do now. But, yeah, I don't think they did until they found out I was coming on this show, really, very much what it is. But I think a lot of my friends, their concern would not so much be if their parents knew about MySpace and could recommend some safety things or say their opinion on it. But I don't think they would want their parents going online and snooping there in their friends' pages. I think that is a violation of privacy as much as I personally don't agree with some of the things MySpace presents. I do believe in freedom of speech and certain privacy rules that I don't think parents should be snooping.
In a way, it's a little odd, Rachel, because it's saying, I don't want my parents to read what I write on MySpace, but it's perfectly fine if a stranger reads what I write. I mean,
right.
it's a little
I think there's
odd.
A lot of hypocrisy with MySpace. It's something, though, I think psychologically, people are more willing to share things with strangers. I think that's why they're more confrontational.
How have you dealt with that, Deshaun, as someone who has uses MySpace? How have you dealt with that with your parents, and what has been their reaction to your being active in that online world?
That's a little bit different for me because I moved out when I turned 19, so I'm living on my own. So, you know, there's no governing there. But I really didn't have any issues. It's just a communication tool that I use. And
so would you be comfortable with your parents or your grandmother or anyone else reading what you've written on MySpace?
No problem because, you know, I have nothing to hide on there. And, you know, I think it's just, I mean, it's a cool resource. That's the only thing I use it for is networking. But for other people, it might not be a good idea.
Yeah. How do we broach this question of privacy and getting parents, Annie Fox, to begin to talk to their parents? Should parents say, you know, I think it's great that you're technologically savvy, but I'd like to read what you've written on MySpace?
Well, I think it needs to start with parents acknowledging that they haven't done a good job up until now. They might say...
Sort of confessing their cluelessness?
Confessing, yeah. You know, I've kind of let this slip. I'm now more aware than I've ever been that there are dangers out there. And I'd like you to help educate me so I know what's going on. And it's a tricky line when you start to broach a subject, especially with a middle school student, to not come down like a ton of bricks, that this is, I'm going to try and catch you in something. But really, I'd like to know more about this. Can you teach me how to log in? What is this about? And if you do it in a way where you're sincere about it, and as I say, not trying to trap them, I think that that's the building of trust. And again, the acknowledgement, you know, I've let the ball slip on this one, and I need to be more responsible as your mom.
Annie Fox is an educational consultant and author. Her book is Too Stressed to Think, A Teen Guide to Staying Sane When Life Makes You Crazy. We're joined as well by Steve DeWarnes, who's an Internet child safety expert and a police officer in the East Bay. as well as Deshaun Robinson, a 19-year-old from Richmond, and Rachel Krantz, an 18-year-old also from the East Bay. Steve DeWarren's on this same question about how you, what else might you do? Annie Fox suggests confessing to start with that you haven't been tuned in, but you want to be. What else would you suggest to parents?
Absolutely. I agree with Annie. I think it has to start young, at very early age, before your kids even get online. You need to start teaching them.
It's you want to start this conversation when kids are what, 7, 8? Because everyone's online at by the time they're in school.
As I refer to the danger stranger rule, when you teach them that, when you start to let them go away from the nest, you know, when you let your kid go outside the front door and you let them play out front, how far do you let them go? You are concerned with a certain distance that you want to have some reins on them. When it comes to the internet, we don't. We let them go wherever they want to go. So when you are starting off with a child that you hit that age where you're going to let them have a little bit of freedom, maybe they're not going to go with you to the store and they're going to stay home for the first time by themselves, and you're telling them, you know, don't open the door to a stranger, don't talk to strangers. And then the next time that they may go to the computer and want to go online, say, you remember what I told you about the strangers? Well, there's also strangers out on the internet. You know, you need to be aware of that fact, that there are people there, because people that you meet online, you have no idea who they are. And so reintroduce that.
I think cases like what happened in the Berkeley Hills in February, where one young man was stabbed, create almost a panicky sense among parents. And it's probably important to try to define the degree of concern, I guess, that you ought to have. You read about that story. You read about the story of a number of sexual assaults that were tied back to people making connections on MySpace in the state of Connecticut. There's a lot for parents to be anxious about. How anxious should we be, Rachel?
I hate to be too cynical, but I think pretty anxious. I feel like, I mean, I haven't noticed when I do, like, look with my friends over their shoulder at their MySpace that there's a lot of predators leaving postings. It's mostly people high school age, but at the same time, people we were talking before lack a lot of common sense. Like, they'll post, Sean was talking about people will post, like, drug deals they're going to do, or just in terms of it, my school, it's not as crazy as that, but I mean, definitely there'll be underage girls posting pictures of them drinking at parties and things that you wouldn't think people would want to share.
And Deshaun, what's your view on that? As someone who has obviously a level-headed approach to this, what should parents understand? How do you begin to have a sort of dialogue with parents from your standpoint, from a teen standpoint?
It's going to be really hard because also on MySpace, you can block out people. You have to be they have to accept you as a friend before you can look on their profile. So there's also settings that can still block parents from there. It's a really hard issue because, you know, as everyone said before, when you're trying to find yourself and you don't know yourself, it's kind of hard to let your parents in on that. And then it's just a little weird going through that teenage phase. So I really think it starts from a younger age. You just have to reiterate, you know, positive things, you know, really teach your kids that, you know, you're a valuable member of society, you know, look and learn about all cultures and all things. And it's really hard because even if you get MySpace off or, you know, you get them off MySpace, there's dozens of other ones. Mm-hmm. There's Asian mm-hmm. Avenue, Black Planet, Downlink. I mean, there's so many for different, you know, ethnic groups, everything, you know. So it's really hard to know.
Well, I was going to say that part of what we're talking about has to do with transmitting values in the family, so that the danger issue, of course. But then there's also the idea that what's the message you are sending? If you're posting pictures of yourself, provocative pictures, what is it you're trying to communicate out there in the world? I think there's a misnomer here. Well, I'm just in my bedroom here. This, and it's called my space, so that kind of sounds like it's really private and just me. I mean, would you post those pictures on the front of your house, blown up, you know, 20 foot by 20 feet? That's essentially what you're doing.
Well, and Steve DeWarren, you make the comparison to a billboard on the highway.
Exactly. I whenever I start off my presentations to the students, I always say, you know, I'm going to give you all the opportunity to have your very own billboard along the freeway. And with that billboard, you can post a picture of yourself, pictures of your friends, what movies you like, what music you listen to.
What deal is going to go down.
How many of you would like to do that? And they all sit there silent. They don't want to do that. They know better. And I ask them, why wouldn't you do that? And they say, well, that you don't give out personal information like that. But why is it okay to do it on MySpace, where more hits and more people will view it than on that billboard along the freeway. So I don't understand why the kids would want to do that.
Annie Fox. Okay,
well, the reason my book is called Too Stressed to Think is because they're not thinking.
Right.
There is we hear a lot about peer pressure, but I think a lot of it is an internal pressure to be part of the gang, as you were saying, to fit into a certain clique. If everybody's got a website, then you want to be part of the everybody. And that push is stressing you out on some level, which on a brain level is actually very much contributing to the fact that the part of your brain that reasons, that can predictably look ahead at the consequences of your actions, is offline at that moment. And mm-hmm. you're just saying, I want to be like everybody else. I'm going to do this. Hey, it's harmless. And they're not thinking clearly.
What's your take on that, Rachel Kranz, as an 18-year-old? Because part of what we're hearing is that you can be really technologically savvy, but not necessarily emotionally savvy. And who knows where hormones are entering into that and the feeling that you're 18 and I'm indestructible. I mean, there are a lot of things that are sort of intersecting and perhaps not the healthiest way. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I definitely do. I think that maybe people aren't thinking, but even furthermore, I think because they're making this profile of themselves, they become almost a character, like you were saying, a rock star in their own mind. And so it's really not them. It's not a billboard of them. And they can present, you know, photoshopped pictures that make them look like a different person. They can make themselves sound as artsy as possible or as bad as possible. And so I think to a certain degree, it becomes this thing where it's the way you wish people would view you. And I think that's unhealthy emotionally because you're trying to present this image of yourself that's maybe not really you. And then all of a sudden it becomes this competition for how many friends can you, quote unquote, friends can you have on MySpace? Whereas personally, I'd just rather have 5 really good friends that I actually talk to face to face than 200 anonymous friends.
Deshaun Robinson, how do you view this question of peer pressure and wanting to be someone?
Definitely. I think that's like a key factor because that's how I got into MySpace. So my friend was like, oh, you know, you need to get on MySpace. You know, you're not on MySpace yet. And I was like, oh, I don't need to go on there. You know, that's just for dorks right there. And then I got on it and I started communicating with people from that I graduated from high school with, even junior high. I was even able to find even people from elementary. And I graduated in 04, so I'm only 19. It's not that old. But, you know, it was a great tool. I really saw, you know, the beautiful part of it. But also at the same time, for the flip side of it, people who still have identity issues and not knowing who they are, it's not a great place to really put yourself
in. And do you talk about that? I mean, teen to teen. I mean, we've been talking some about how to encourage better conversation between parent and teen. But if you see a friend of yours doing something that you think is, you know, you're trying to be someone you're not, or you're doing something that's provocative and it's going to get you in trouble if you have a young lady friend or whoever. Do you guys talk about that amongst yourself? I mean, this comes back to Rachel's point in a way that people are talking online, but maybe not to each other.
You know, and I just had the same conversation with my best friend. He's picking up like a lot of girls in there. I'm like, well, you know, if the girls are so easy to pick up on MySpace, who do you think they've been with before that? And he was like, oh, I don't care. And, I'm going to use protection and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, well, doesn't that kind of make you nervous? You know, who else? I really think, you know, people aren't thinking like, you know, it was said before. People really aren't using common sense. And it's a scary thought.
Deshaun Robinson is outlining what some of those thoughts are and what some of those issues are as we talk about MySpace and how parents and teens can begin to sort their way through these issues. We're joined as well by 18-year-old Rachel Kranz, Steve DeWarrens, an internet child safety expert and police officer in the East Bay, and Annie Fox, an author and educational consultant. And we'll take your calls on this topic when we come back. You can call us at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786, or you can email us at forum@kqed.org. Parent or teen, fire away. This is Forum on KQED. I'm Dave Iverson. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Dave Iverson. Our topic this hour are how parents and teens can learn to talk to each other and communicate, especially in a world that is now sometimes dominated by cyber communications rather than face-to-face communications. Our guests include 18-year-old Rachel Kranz, active with Youth Radio, as well as Deshaun Robinson, a 19-year-old from Richmond, also active with the Youth Radio program, a program that works with young people to develop skills with media and journalism. Steve DeMorens is here, too. He's an internet child safety expert and police officer in the East Bay, and Annie Fox, an educational consultant and author and online teen advisor. What a shock. Lots of calls coming in for people who want to talk about this topic, and we welcome yours as well at 866-733-6786. And more emails as well coming in, and you can email us too at forum@kqedu.org. And let's get right to our calls. Linda in Berkeley is first up. Linda, go ahead.
Oh, good morning. I just wanted to say that Rachel sounds so rational, and at first her voice makes her sound a little younger than she is, but she brought up something that I think perhaps she hasn't quite thought through. At 18, she has a great deal to say about privacy issues. When you get to be, I think, between 15 and 18, those issues of privacy do become important, but that doesn't mean that you're not diving into a cesspool you don't know anything about. But that between the 8 and 12, does she really think privacy issues are important for an age 12, 13-year-old to have where their parents cannot share with them? I'm not saying pry, but on the other hand, it's a cesspool out there, guys, and to say, well, you know, you have to have your privacy, yes, you do, but I think she needs to think that through.
Okay, well, let's let Rachel respond. Take your point that there's a difference, perhaps, between privacy issues for an 18-year-old and a 12-year-old. Rachel, you want to respond to Linda who's calling in?
Yeah, I think there are differences, but Annie was talking about establishing trust, and I think the ultimate way that a parent can break that trust is to go behind their child's back and go on MySpace. So I think that the way that Annie was talking about doing it in terms of talking directly to your child is an excellent way, and you might be surprised at what they would be willing to show you if you just ask them nicely. And so, well, I definitely have concerns about MySpace and safety issues involved. I don't think it should, you know, young kids, they're minors. I mean, their parents have a right to know if they're doing things that are putting them in danger, but I don't think there's any reason to break the trust you could have with your kid, because then you're really not going to get anywhere.
Officer DeWarnes, you want to chime in on this?
Yeah, there's certainly parents need to monitor, and what the caller is saying I get into with a lot of the parents is, yes, you do need to monitor. How do you monitor? Is it going to maybe some people think an extreme of loading some software on that you can actually monitor that way? Or as Rachel's saying, is just ask and talk to your kids. I definitely feel it is important to have a good communication with your children, period.
In the end, it sounds like you're also saying there really isn't a technological solution, a filter that will make all this work. The filter has to happen between parent and child, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And let's go to our next call. We're joined next by Heidi in San Jose. Heidi, go ahead.
Hi. I'm a mother of three children. Two are 17, almost 18, and another is a daughter who's 14. I've had two experiences after teaching my kids the what-if games and the pick a password and a code word for many years. And I think it's a combination of Darwinian theory, of survival of the fittest, and just plain old luck, because my oldest almost got abducted no matter what I did at 10 years old at a sports arena. I decided that I'd be mercenary and offer him double what any abductor would offer him, so that way he would just come home safe. And my daughter went on MySpace and posed as a 18-year-old, met a 28-year-old who I ended up calling after she waited about 3 months to tell me he had gotten our phone number, our address, because she thought she was calling him from our blocked line, which was not blocked. And I ended up telling the kid, that the young man, that he was talking to 13-year-olds. And thank God he was not a serial molester. But I think it's really luck, and I'd like the officer to talk about the fact that kids just don't listen until they have to go through something and learn it.
Okay.
Thanks
for the call. Thanks for sharing your experience. Steve DeWarnes and then Annie Fox on. Let's give people just a few things, do's and don'ts. Are there certain things you should or should not do? If your child has a MySpace, should you not put your telephone number on it? Should you not? What are the sort of basics that people ought to do?
That goes beyond before MySpace. You know, I go into the schools and I talk with the parents and I talk with the kids. And I was shocked to find out that a lot of the kids that are active doing instant messaging, when they're away from the computer, they post up an away notice and they'll say, call me, and they put their phone number there. I mean, which, you know, if I'm going to find somebody and now I've got their telephone number and I could call them, or I could do a Google search on that phone number if it's listed in the phone book, I got driving directions. Just the kids don't have a clue. They think that it can't happen to them.
So parents are clueless, and teens are clueless. They're just clueless about different things.
To a certain degree. Kids just feel like it can't happen to them. My approach when I go into the schools and I talk to the kids is from my experience as a law enforcement officer. I've made arrests of predators, and that's just a small portion of what's going on out there. Kids, we were talking during the break, 14-year-old girls being sexually assaulted by adults, you know, teens to early 20-somethings that are in college, and the girls are willingly going with these people because they feel that that's the cool thing and that they're being accepted by an older person. And so it's just making them aware. I go out and I make them aware of how they can become a victim in all of this if they're not careful, and they should never post personal information out there.
Danny Fox.
I would say one thing that parents can do right away is bring the computer out into a common space in the house.
Absolutely.
It's a lot harder for kids to be secretive, and I'm not saying that your parents should look over your shoulder. Absolutely not. But if you're in the midst of something that is uncomfortable for you as a 12-year-old at the keyboard, you're less likely to hide it.
Interesting. So just as some in ages past, we might have thought that having a TV in a kid's bedroom wasn't a great plan, you're saying that a computer in a kid's bedroom isn't a great plan. And
I would say it's probably a good defense for parents. Bring it out in the open.
Deshaun Robinson.
And also, I think you need to check through the cell phone because you have internet access on your cell phone now. So, you know, look over the bill because a lot of people have internet access, you know, thanks to Sidekick 2s. And
someone made the point to me the other day that I hadn't really thought about, Deshaun, that your point reminds me of, which is that in the olden days, if people wanted to call, they called the house, and the parent might pick up the phone and say, yes, Maria is here, or no, Maria isn't. Now everyone has their own phone everywhere. And so that level of parental screening, if you will, doesn't exist anymore.
I definitely think that's true. It's hard to track. You know, everyone can get on access anywhere in the internet if they can't do it at home, their friend's house. You know, you really have to have a really good relationship with your kids and just know what kind of person they are.
And some emails coming in on the question of relationships. This person writes, my daughter is 12 and she and all her friends have pages. We have guidelines that we enforce. She knows that in order to have this web page, I must always know her passwords and approve all her comments. She must have her page set to private, and she knows that I will visit her friends' pages as well. Now, this is a pretty involved parent, Rachel. Does that kind of involvement feel over the top to you or appropriate?
It feels a little over the top to me, I have to say. I think knowing what's going on in your kid's life, maybe asking to check up on the MySpace once in a while is one thing, but approving every comment, you might have upwards of 20 comments in one day, seems a little bit big brother to me.
Yeah. Annie Fox?
I would say, too, I mean, I'm keeping in mind it's a 12-year-old, but where is the trust? If a child doesn't feel trusted, often the attitude is, well, you don't trust me anyway, you know. I'll show you I'm really not trustworthy. And they'll find a way,
exactly.
Be it high-tech or low-tech.
I would say just like as a teenager, the one thing that's kept – one of the things that's kept me out of trouble is being like, I don't want to break my parents' trust. And that means something to me because they trust me so much. And so if I mess up, then they won't feel that way anymore. But if already you know your parents don't trust you, what is there to lose or gain?
And to more of your calls, Nancy joins us next from Alameda. Nancy, go ahead.
Hi. I've made it a condition of my son's computer access to have a MySpace and having a MySpace page that he make it private. And you guys have mentioned that a couple of times, but what that basically means is that anyone that he adds as a friend can see his information and talk to him. Anyone that he has not approved of or knows personally cannot see any of his information. And I made it a condition of his access and this page that he add me as a friend so I can look things over. And I use it basically as a tool to keep kind of an eye on who he's hanging out with, who he's talking to, what they're talking about. It's not that I have to approve of everything there, but it definitely gives us a starting point of a lot of conversations. While your friend so-and-so seems, you know, a little out there, that girl so-and-so seems like she's putting a little bit too much personal information out. If I ever see on any of his friends' pages that one of them has put a phone number or, oh, please send me a letter at this address, I tell him to tell his friend right away, you've got to remove that, that's not safe. And in that way of talking to him and about what his friends are doing and what he's doing, it's given us a lot more information about each other and our values and what's okay and what's not okay.
All right, Nancy, thanks very much
for the
call and the observation. What are the what responsibilities do you have for what your friends are doing? And from a parent's standpoint, if you find out that, you know, your child's best friend is posting something, you know, risque, what are you supposed to do as a parent? Or Annie Fox?
No, you absolutely should get in touch with the parent. How would you feel if you, as a parent, had some information about one of your child's friends and you didn't take it to the next level and something, God forbid, happened to that child? You had the information, but you didn't do anything about it. And I get email from kids all the time who are concerned about high-risk behavior of their friends. And mm-hmm. I always say, first, you talk to your friend about it, and if they're not listening, you need to go to an adult for help.
Deshaun, you were talking about that, about talking about one of your friend who's getting lots of dates via online. But I think parents, my sense is at least, that parents are sort of in some ways afraid of their kids on these sorts of questions and don't want to be viewed as being uncool and don't want to be viewed as being losers and all the rest.
You just definitely need to ask. You know, it's no harm in asking because you don't know nowadays. Even though your kids might have a MySpace that you have access to, it's just as easy to set up another one with another name and show a cartoon face at the same time. I mean, it's always a way around things. So you just really can't be afraid to ask questions. You have to ask and you really have to reiterate, you know. You shouldn't go out there post personal information and, you know, that kind of thing. Just make sure you just give your kids the tools that they need to be able to get by and survive.
More emails coming in. This from Jimmy in Richmond. I'm the husband of a Bay Area high school teacher who is very tech savvy about MySpace, and she chats with all her students about MySpace in the classroom and is constantly amazed at how many students are completely unaware of the possibilities of predators and creeps who are out there viewing their profiles. So this goes right back to what you were saying before, Steve DeWarnes, mm-hmm. about kids are tech savvy but not necessarily aware savvy.
Because they feel like they're in the safety of their own home. Nothing can harm them. So they're safe behind that computer screen, that they don't realize that they're telegraphing that information out there to the world.
And to Liz in San Francisco. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Liz Perley. I'm the editor-in-chief of Common Sense Media. And this is the smartest program I've heard yet on MySpace, and you're definitely in the zeitgeist, guys, because MySpace itself has announced the safety czar as of yesterday because they're very worried about it. You know, at Common Sense, our goal is exactly what you're doing, raising parental awareness. And I live this 24/7 because I have a sophomore daughter. I'm a teacher in the public high school, and then I provide parents with information. And I wanted to say that if you go to commonsensemedia.org, you'll see some tips for parents because we have to, as parents, teach our children safety. It's like driving a car, but there's a weird role reversal here because our kids know more about this than we do.
Right. All right. Thanks for the observation and the idea about resources. Let's spend just a moment on that before we go back to more of our calls. Where can people get help, either from a teen standpoint, a parent standpoint? What are a few good resources, good books, good ways to just get smarter?
All they need to do is go to Google and type in net safety, cyberspace safety, and any of those things, and you'll get wonderful educational websites that are designed for parents and teens that really lay it out. There's one, I think it's called chatdanger.com, where they actually have real-life stories, so there's audio where you have teens talking about what happened to friends of theirs, and you can listen to that, and it's quite compelling.
And this person was saying, also emailed in, Steve DeWarnes, that the teacher talks about it in this classroom, so some of what needs to happen is just for this to be not only more of a conversation at home, but a conversation in class, too.
Absolutely. You know, I find a lot of the schools will re-invite me back, and we make it a regular part of the curriculum to have a safety class for a core group of students. Might be 5th grade, 6th grade, 7th grade, whichever it may be, but to have some type of a safety class in place at a school to reiterate some of these things.
And this comes in from Anthony. A word of caution to other parents. A few days ago, I was able to find my son's space on MySpace. He's a smart 16-year-old whom we trust. Yet even he had there many stupid things that are better kept to himself. Instead, they were wide open for everyone. When my wife and I told him about it, what we had seen there, he was more embarrassed than angry with us for violating his privacy. So again, Rachel, it's this privacy and trust question. Help parents understand how they approach that stuff when they discover something on a MySpace site that they think really isn't the greatest about their kid.
Well, I think that person did the right thing in talking to the kid. And maybe he was embarrassed because he probably knew somewhere in the back of his mind that he shouldn't be putting up that information about himself. I think, you know, and you were saying before, kids may not be thinking, but that doesn't mean we're stupid. So I think it's just all about talking to your kids.
Deshaun?
Same thing. It's really just about talking to your kids. Don't be so naive. Just because you get straight A's or your kids get straight A's doesn't mean that they don't have a dark side, because we all know there's a lot of people out there with straight A's that do some of the dumbest things in the world.
And this comes back to something that Annie Fox, you said earlier. We also shouldn't, as parents, use our lack of technological savvy as an excuse, because in the end, it's all about paying attention.
It is about paying attention. You can't check out now. And you see this grown-up person in front of you who used to be your little kid and say, well, I guess my job's over. They're all grown up. They're not. They need your help, even if they don't admit it.
And to Nancy in Berkeley. Nancy, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I'm along with the same theme about I'm just shocked that where were the parents at this party in Berkeley that where these children were stabbed? And I'm old. I have to tell you, I'm 73, but I can go back to the 70s here in Berkeley with my teenage kids, being a single parent, and insisting that I know who the party givers are, and is there going to be adult present, and also if we're giving a party, I want the list of the kids who are coming. Now that doesn't mean that 100 kids didn't show up, because back then, there was also the grapevine. There's nothing new about the web except that it's worldwide, obviously, and much more pernicious. But I think we need to go back to when they're 6 and 7. I mean, you teach kids not to run across the street when they're little so that they aren't crossing the street when they're grown up. So we have to start way, way back.
All right.
Setting limits, and they're going to complain. That's what parents and children's relationships are like, but we're responsible for their safety.
Thank you, Nancy. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks for the call and the observation. And Rob makes a similar point. He says, I can't help but feel that none of this is new. There's always been too much danger and not enough common sense in the world. How do you view that, Steve DeWarnes, that you know, these are old issues to some extent, and the parents' job may be more challenging now, but it's the same job.
It is, and it's just playing catch-up. As parents, we are removed from technology. So technology and parenting has to become one, and you need to be up to date with the things that are out there. I suggest to parents that they have an acceptable use policy at home if they have the internet there. Just like Annie said, it should not be in the bedroom. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to houses on calls and see that the kids have internet access there. But they should have an acceptable use policy at home. They have it at school, so they should also have it at home.
But what if a parent says, how do you feel about that, Rachel? Do you have a computer? May I ask? I'm sorry. Here I am asking an invasive private question on the air. I'll make it hypothetical. What would you think if a parent said to another teen, I don't want that computer in your room anymore?
I think the student would be pretty upset, probably. They'd probably want to know, why? What did I do? What are you punishing me for? Because a lot of people are really attached to their computers in their room. But at the same time, I do think putting the computer out into the open or even in some sort of family space like an office might also encourage kids to use the computer for their homework more instead of just going on MySpace.
What do you see with that, Deshaun? I mean, you're living on your own now, and obviously you can make those choices yourself. But how do you feel about that question? This is such an interesting, very specific point that Annie and Steve are making. Don't have the computer in a kid's bedroom.
Like my mom said, I pay for the internet, and I bought the computer. So pretty much you have that leeway, you know what I mean? If your kids can save up $1,000 for the computer and pay for this, the internet and broadband bill, then, you know, then you can have and do what you want. But until you can do that, you're under my roof and my rules. And
your mom raised one very level-headed young man.
It's just the culture, too. You know, you really have to teach your kids and just beat it into them like a drum. Like when I had DARE in third, fourth grade, I still remember
DARE, drug
abuse resistance education. I still remember what it means. And, you know, that's been years ago. So just beat it into them like a drum, you know, about what's going on. And just teach them how to analyze the media. Like, you know, like Annie said, when you're putting up pictures, what are you saying? You know, people can interpret pictures in different ways because it's not one-on-one communication. So really think about what you're putting out there.
And to Jeff in Sonoma with another call this morning. Jeff, go ahead.
Good morning. I appreciate all the concern and interest in these chat sites. I know we're focusing in on MySpace. However, my biggest concern is what happens to these kids as they turn into adults. And they have a very, very high lack of communication skills. There's a direct correlation with the amount of separations and divorces from communication problems and from a job on-job site performance skills based on the fact that these kids don't know how to communicate in conversation.
Yeah, interesting point, Jeff. And Rachel, that goes back to something you said very early on about whether or not people are learning to communicate because it's so kind of easy and quick and you can say, you know, you are for your or all the rest.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's my main personal objection to MySpace is that I feel like people cannot communicate with each other anymore, and I'm really worried about that means. And I see how it affects relationships. It used to be considered impolite to break up with someone over the phone. Now you're lucky if you get their voice. It's an email or it's a posting on MySpace. And that is not respectful.
Breaking up on MySpace?
People have done that, yes.
Ouch. Annie Fox.
The other thing that's missing is eye contact, being able to read micro expressions so that you know how someone's feeling, even though they may not be saying something at the moment. Being tuned into another human being is a very high-level skill and something that's going to, in fact, predict a lot of your success or failure in life. That's completely gone.
Deshaun.
And also, like when I was talking about my my friend, you know, even picking up girls on MySpace takes away from the thrill of the chase, you know what I mean? You know, he's like, oh, it was so much easier, you know, just to send a message to him and you don't have to go through it. But I'm like, it's life, you know, you have to go through the ups and downs. You have to learn how to interpret women. Women have to learn how to interpret men. And it's, I think the real issue, too, is how is that going to affect our relationships between men and women and, you know, just people in general within the next 20 to 30 years? Because if you can't do things face-to-face, it's like more than 80%, it's, you know, body language.
Really, so, really
you know,
interesting
crazy.
Point, Deshaun. Really interesting. Let's go to Jeff in Macon, Georgia this morning. Jeff, go ahead.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Fine, thank you.
I really would like to know when parents gave up their right to be parental authorities in the lives of children. I have a 17-year-old and a 10-year-old. My 17-year-old did not get a cell phone until he was 16. My 10-year-old has no access to computer or Internet in my home unless I'm sitting there with her. And I think the parents just have to maintain authority and responsibility for their kids' behaviors and actions, particularly as it relates to the Internet.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. Thanks for calling in from Macon this morning. How do you guys respond to that? Does that seem hard-nosed to you or really what parents ought to do? Steve Dorns.
No, they should do that. I agree with him. And we mentioned earlier about cell phones. It amazes me the technology that we give our kids and cell phones. And at the younger age, each year that I see kids with cell phones. And, you know, I understand in an emergency getting in touch with somebody, but do they need text messaging? Do they need the Internet on their cell phone? Do they need a camera phone? Do they need all these things? These are features that parents pay for. So you don't need those things.
Someone just emailed in who says that at my school, we've used a firewall to block MySpace, but our students are amazingly adept at getting around our firewall. So in the end, there's no real technological solution. The solution is between us right here. So we just have a few minutes left. Let me ask you each for sort of a parting thought or word of advice about how we can find our way through this thicket so that kids are safe and parents are less clueless. Steve DeWarren.
Take the basic parenting skills and apply them to the Internet. Just reintroduce and have an open communication with your child and build that trust. You won't have any problems in them communicating to you. They will enjoy teaching you something about the computer.
Annie Fox.
Yeah, I would concur with what Steve said. This is your responsibility. These are your children, and don't be snowed under by what they know that you don't know. You know a lot more about life and living than they do, and it's a good exchange. So get the communication going.
And I think it's appropriate to have the last word come from the teens. So, Rachel.
I think that if you communicate with your kids, not just about discipline issues, then they'll be better communicators in life. And if you respect your kids, they'll have better self-respect. And I think all these issues of kids posting things that are really not respectful to themselves, it's an issue of a lack of self-respect on their part.
Yeah. Deshaun Robinson.
Definitely. I have to agree with what everyone said, but I also think a really big thing is making sure that your kids know who they are and help them discover that at a young age. After school programs and just remembering, you know, trust is both ways, you know, and you always as a parent have to have a little bit more pull at the end than the child does.
And just real quickly, Deshaun, and Rachel too, really, how did that start? I mean, because you both obviously have that sort of relationships with your parents. Can you talk at all about how that came about, what that lesson was that you got from your mom, Deshaun?
My mom is a single parent and raised me from to I am now 19. And I really just saw her struggle. And, you know, she just tried to teach me as much as she can with the resources that she had. And I was always in after-school programs, art. I had radio broadcasting. I was a police explorer for Richmond. I was in so many things that, it really carried on until I was older, and it really balances you out. You just have to look, and also to flying solo, that's definitely the hardest learner when reality hits you and you really have to take a look at life.
And Rachel, a last word.
I think that my parents just always were open with me. They let me learn from their mistakes. They never tried to hide their life as a teenager, and so I've always just been able to talk to them and felt like I could be open with them.
Really a pleasure to have all of you here. Rachel Kranz joined us this hour. She is an 18-year-old at Bentley High. Deshaun Robinson, active with Youth Radio, as is Rachel, 19-year-old from Richmond. Joining us, too, Steve DeWarnes, who is an Internet Child Safety Officer and a police officer in the East Bay, and Annie Fox, who is an educational consultant and author of Too Stressed to Think, A Teen Guide to Staying Sane When Life Makes You Crazy. I want you to write a book now for parents. Thank you all very much for joining us this hour. This is Forum on KQED. I'm Dave Iverson.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Claude and Louise Rosenberg Jr. Family Foundation.